Truth Revolution.
Hey, welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
Right.
In Salina, Kansas.
Right.
Sundays, well, we're not going to do the hours. You just have to check the website.
Right, because we change the service time so often, we stop giving the service times.
Revo.church.
So
go check it out.
Revo.church is the website for the church. Truthrevolution.tv is our website. Mm-hmm. We love to talk about science and faith and logic and reason. Today, we are talking about 8 reasons you should believe in God.
Right on. So let's get into it, right?
We're going to get into it. Now, before we get to the 8 reasons, we're going to get into it. But before we get into it, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Bible and how the Bible is not just one giant holy book. It's a bunch of holy books put together and how it got put together. And we didn't get to finish that discussion. And so we just want to throw a couple things out there.
Okay.
We want to talk about the Apocrypha and the Gnostic Gospels, why we don't include these in the Bible, in case someone is wondering. So we're going to talk about the Bible, how it was put together, and why we don't include some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about the 8 reasons why you should believe in God. Okay, we got, there's like hundreds of reasons, but we've got 8 that we want to communicate to you
so
today.
So the first couple is stuff that we shouldn't believe, and then the rest will be everything we should believe.
That's a good way to catalog that. Very good thing.
I'm a cataloger.
All right, so basically, Dave, do you want to recap from 2 weeks ago? How did the Bible get put together? Well, we voted on a giant council and included the books we liked.
Exactly. Whatever. You need to go back and listen to the show.
Okay.
Now, basically, the church discovers,
yes, not decides.
Right. What scripture really is. Matter of fact, when they were writing the letters, they called each other's letters scripture.
So these guys were prophets. The apostles were prophets.
Right.
And they knew they were writing scripture. The church always accepted it as scripture.
Right.
And there weren't books that people thought maybe were scripture that we rejected, and some books that we didn't think were scripture that we liked that we included. Whatever was scripture, these holy books in the Bible have always been considered holy. And so now we are jumping in and saying the question is the Apocrypha.
Okay.
Why haven't we included the Apocrypha? It's the Apocrypha is, it's 14 books that is included in like the Roman Catholic Bible, but not ours.
Right.
Not the Protestants. And so why don't we include them? There's a few simple reasons. Here we go. I'm going to nail them really fast. Ready?
Yep. Go ahead.
The early church fathers rejected them.
Okay.
So the earliest church, the leaders in the early church in the first century, second century, third century, rejected these. So they're not part of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Jewish teachers rejected them. It also includes heretical teaching like praying for the dead. And the churches that accept them didn't do it until hundreds of years after they were written.
Right.
And they're not inspired by God. First Maccabees, which is part of the Apocrypha, even denies that it's inspired by God.
So what then?
Well, these books were added officially in 1546 at the Council of Trent. 1546. Okay. Weird thing is that's just 29 years after Martin Luther caused this huge reformation calling for some biblical support for beliefs like salvation by works and prayer for the dead. Mm-hmm. He said, those things aren't in the Bible. Then all of a sudden they're like, yes, it is.
All of a sudden,
it is now.
All of a sudden, the Bible got a little thicker.
That's right. So that's why we don't accept it. All right. Now, the Gnostics. These are things like the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Mary, Gospel of Philip. These are most likely written around the second century AD.
Right.
Right. They weren't written by the apostles.
Yeah.
They weren't written by the prophets. And they say things that are crazy. Gospel of Philip says, the companion of the Savior was Mary Magdalene. Christ loved her more than all the disciples and used to kiss her in the mouth often.
This sounds like something that might be written by Mary.
Right. Like this
he really liked me.
This is in the Gospel of Thomas says, but the son of Annas, the scribe, was standing there with Joseph. He took a branch of willow and dispersed the water with which Jesus had gathered. When Jesus saw what he'd done, he was enraged and said to him, you insolent, godless dunderhead. What harm did the pools of water do to you? And like, does this sound like Jesus?
No,
it doesn't.
Absolutely
doesn't
not.
Sound like, I mean, it doesn't sound like Jesus. It was written hundreds of years later. So that's why we don't include them. All right. That's why we don't include the Apocrypha. That's why we don't include the Gnostic Gospels. They weren't written by prophets. They don't tell the truth about Jesus. They don't have the power of God. And they were never accepted by the church to begin with.
Right.
Okay. Now.
We're moving right along.
8 reasons to believe God exists. 8 reasons to believe God exists. Reason number one. This is teleological.
Right.
Teleological. Now, this is actually, this is 2 different reasons. We're going to divide this into 2. The teleological argument. This is a logical argument to prove God's existence. It starts out, it says, all designs imply a
designer.
There is great
design
in the universe.
Glad I can help out.
Therefore, there must be a great
designer
of the universe.
I'm good.
You are good. All right. So yeah, look, if there's a great design, there must have been a universe or mm-hmm. there must have been a designer, right? Like you look at your watch, you're like, wow, this is really good design. You know, intuitively, it didn't just happen by accident. You didn't just shake up a bunch of gears in a box and all of a sudden you get a watch.
Right. I dare somebody to actually try that. And then get back to me on that.
Yeah. Put a bunch of gears and pieces of metal and glass inside a box and shake it until you get a perfectly working watch. It's not going to happen.
Right.
And it has to be on time, by the way. All right. So you know when you see things that complicated, that specific, that detailed, that someone designed it.
Right. Complexity doesn't necessarily imply design. Complexity has to be paired with specificity to imply design.
Specificity meaning it actually accomplishes something.
Right. Like a watch keeps time.
So the parallel would be, and this is the number one reason to believe in God. I'm not saying like the number one reason, but our first reason is the design in our DNA and our bodies.
Right.
You just look at that. I mean, this is like computer code. This is like computer code.
Yeah. It's like ones and zeros. But yeah. A little more complex.
At the college I went to, they stacked up a bunch of telephone books and they said, and it wasn't even your entire DNA. They're like, in just whatever like tiny section of DNA contains this much information. And they piled up phone books. It was like 6 feet high, like two different strands. It was crazy.
Right.
It was crazy. So, and they said, take all the characters and all these phone books. And that's just one part of what's included in your DNA.
That's awesome.
And it all works right. And if it doesn't work, you're not alive. You're mutated. You die. And this is it's like computer programming for your body. This and this DNA is designed very specifically to make you the type of person you are. This is not an accident.
Right, right. Amen.
Just like a watch, this type of detail can't happen an accident. Now, some people say, well, you know, evolution. Okay, so that brings us to our number two reason, right? This is the second reason you should believe in God. Design in the universe itself. Okay, evolution doesn't happen in space, right? It doesn't happen with rocks. Even if you think evolution caused our DNA, which is far out there, but even if it did, it couldn't have happened in the cosmos. But the universe itself has laws, physics, regulations that keep it going, things that allow us to be alive, things that shouldn't have happened but do. You know, we have to have a terrestrial planet to live on.
Right.
Right. Plate tectonic recycling. Plate tectonics make possible the carbon cycle, which is essential to our planet's habitability. Habitability. If this didn't happen, we wouldn't live here. We wouldn't exist. But you know what? It just so happened that our planet has plate tectonics and works exactly like it should. The statistical probability of that happening, very low.
Right.
How about carbon dioxide?
Yeah, you can't breathe it. I mean, you can, but not for very long.
Well, you have to have the exact right level in the atmosphere. If you have too great, and this isn't, I'm not talking about politics here, but if you get too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, you get a greenhouse effect. It's too hot. People are going to die. If there's not enough carbon dioxide, plants would be unable to maintain photosynthesis efficiently.
Right at the right balance.
You have to have the right balance of carbon dioxide. And I mean, this is huge. Most planets have way too much or way too little. Our planet has just the right amount. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these things designed in the universe. Actually, remember Dr. Hiros?
Yes.
His website
is...
this is a test
reasons.org.
Yes! And on reasons.org, they actually have a list of like over 400 things you have to have for life to exist.
It's crazy because, I mean, the list... people think... Oh, just add water and you got life. Well, you know, you add water to like a Petri dish here and you look at it, of course you're going to have life because life is already in the water.
Right.
Right. But you just can't say just add water and that's life.
That's right. So those were our two of our reasons to believe in God's existence. Mm-hmm. All right. The DNA in our bodies, it's so designed well. And the universe itself, we didn't even get into things like the law of gravity and electromagnetism.
Large moon.
Yeah, the large, well, I'm talking about like the laws of physics now.
Right.
Like little, like why do these even exist? Like you might be able to explain why a moon became large and orbited our planet, but you can't explain to me why the electromagnetic force is the power it is. And if it was any different, we would all die.
Right. That's crazy.
But there's all these forces. So anyway, so those two things are huge. Mm-hmm. Now, the third and fourth reason to believe God's existence have to do with the cosmological arguments. Mm-hmm. At the Kalam cosmological argument. This is my favorite one, I think.
whatever has a beginning to its existence must have a cause.
True.
The universe began to exist.
It did.
Therefore, the universe has a cause.
Yes.
Which we believe is a creator.
A creator. Mm-hmm. That's right. If something has a beginning, something had to have caused it. Mm-hmm. I have a beginning. My parents caused me.
Right.
Right. My diet Mountain Dew had a beginning. Pepsi caused this, or whoever makes Diet Mountain Dew. I don't know. So someone caused it to exist if it has a beginning. Well, our universe had a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists call it the Big Bang.
It was a little bit bigger than that, Jeff, I think.
It was?
Yeah.
Like a double of that? But it was so something caused this.
Right.
Whatever was outside our universe that caused it to exist is our creator. Of course, some people are saying now, well, we're in a computer simulation. Okay, so
that's crazy.
Just think about this. Let's just say we are. Our universe exists because some supercomputer programmer designed every bit of our universe, and he does not exist inside of our universe. So What would we call the person that has total control over every aspect of our universe and created it and designed it and is not inside of it?
A programmer?
That's pretty much how we define God.
Right.
And so we call him God. Mm-hmm. And if this is a digital universe and he inserted himself into it as Jesus, he can do that. But I mean, to call this just a computer simulation, you're taking all the philosophical arguments for the existence of God and saying, I agree with them on every level, but now that we have computers, I prefer to think of this as computer than real.
That's crazy.
And so, like, they watched The Matrix too many times is what they did, honestly. They were in college.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
They smoked a little too much weed. Mm. They watched The Matrix too many times. Right. And then they got a degree and went, wow, you know, I think the theologians are right. There's so much evidence that our universe is created. And the universe had to come from somewhere, but I don't want it to be God.
Right.
It must have been a computer programmer. A geeky god.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the Kalam cosmological argument. There is also the
vertical
cosmological mm-hmm. argument. The vertical cosmological. Now, this was a little more complicated. Let's go over this.
A little confusing. Everything in the universe is dependent upon something else.
Okay. You need water to live.
Mm-hmm.
Dave needs his motorcycle to get around.
We do.
We're all dependent on something else, right? I need air. The air needs its molecules mm-hmm. to hold together. Even oxygen has to have like everything. Well, I'm not going to, I don't know. You get inside of like air, even oxygen has to be held together somehow.
Right, with bonds and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. nucleus. Right. Nucleus. I've got a cold today and I can't think or say anything right.
So if everything is dependent, then the whole universe together is dependent.
Okay, so everything in our universe right now depends on something else. Mm-hmm. You put all these dependent things together, then you get a universe that has to be dependent on something else.
Right.
Therefore,
the whole universe is dependent on some independent being beyond the universe for its current existence.
Okay, if you drive your car, you eventually run out of gas, mm-hmm. and you have to what?
Go fill it up.
You have to put more gas in it.
You have to walk.
It, right? If you don't, if something outside of that car doesn't keep it running, it will die.
Right.
Right? There is always something outside of itself allowing it to continue to exist. Right? This is the vertical cosmological argument. Everything's dependent. And when you put these dependent things together, they don't become independent suddenly. They become more dependent.
Right.
Some people are like, yeah, but like the hydrological cycle, right? Like the weather patterns and stuff. Like the earth exists. Everything's dependent, but because we have this cool hydrological cycle and ecological systems, it just keeps it going. It just keeps it going all by itself. Well, that's not true. We might have a cool system that keeps it going, but they're all still dependent on something outside themselves. Let's take babies, for instance. You put one baby in a forest.
Right.
Is it dependent and needy?
It is.
Alone, it's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You put another baby with it. They may come up with some cool cycle. Like one might spit and pee in the other one's mouth.
What?
And the other one's going to drink it. And you might say, in short term, you'll be like, wow, he kept that other one alive. Like right. this weird cycle going on. But that doesn't work long term. The more babies you have, the more dependent mm-hmm. they are.
Yeah.
Being dependent is like fundamental to who they are. Being dependent is fundamental to who we are.
Amen.
And what everything is in this universe. We must be dependent on something outside of the universe to keep our existence going. That's an interesting philosophical argument. We've done more shows on it. You'll have to check those out. All right. TruthRevolution.tv.
Yep. Old shows. Got truth shots. You can donate. Ask questions.
That's right. So far, we've given you 4 reasons to believe in God. Come back on the other side of the show. We're going to give you 4 more. and we're going to answer a Bible contradiction.
Ooh, it's going to be tight.
We're going to talk about absolute morality and resurrection and statistics and more. We'll be right back.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Why should you go to church?
You know, Jesus said we should be the church.
But before then, the word church was used for business meetings. If you were there, you're part of the church because you were doing the work.
Jesus didn't say, "Hey everyone, show up for an hour and hang out."
Not at all. He said, "Be my church."
Meaning, if you follow me, you should get together with other people who follow me and work together. So church is us coming together to do God's work together.
www.revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future."
Ah, yes. God has great things in store for you. He wants you to hope because your business will succeed and everything you want will...
Jeff?
Yeah?
That's not what it means. Let's read the context.
Yes, the context of plans. What did God mean by plans for them? What were these good plans?
70 years of slavery.
Listen to Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you."
So the next time you hear that verse, be careful to not suggest that it means God will do all kinds of positive things that you're thinking about.
Certainly God always does what is good. Sometimes that's 70 years in a foreign country.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
Why should you go to church? Part 2.
You probably have a lot of people in your life who you care about and they care about you.
But imagine that relationship being God-focused. Not just talking theoretically about them once in a while, but seriously.
Both of you loving God more, asking each other, "Hey, what did you learn last week?" And challenging each other because you know that you can both be what God wants you to be.
That's part of what churches do.
Come on out to Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about all these overwhelming lists of proofs that God exists.
Yeah, we like to talk about, hey, you know, here's a reason to believe in God. But then we always say things like, but this is just one piece of evidence. Mm-hmm. There's lots of them.
Right.
So today we're doing 8 of them. There's probably hundreds. There's probably hundreds of reasons to believe in God. We're just doing 8 of them that we like today all at once. And so we're not spending a lot of time on each one. You want more? We've done a show on each one of these.
Right.
So you can certainly go to our website and just search.
I'll link to every one of them.
TruthRevolution.tv. You know, actually, I don't think we've done a show on number 8, but whatever. Right. We're going to get there. So, number 5 reason to believe in God.
Absolute morality.
Thank you. Absolute morality.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know.
Horrible, horrible things are going to happen.
Right. This reminds us of absolute morality. Mm-hmm. We believe things are good and they really are good. And some things are evil and
they really are evil.
Yeah. It's not just a preference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had a discussion with an atheist, and this has happened a couple times, where they say, "No, no, no. You say rape is wrong, but I, as an atheist, also say rape is wrong." And I say, "Well, you can't really say that if you're an atheist, if you don't believe in God, because for you, it's all just preferential." And they're like, "No, no, no, I absolutely think it's wrong." But eventually in the discussion, we get to the point where they say, "Well, I wouldn't call it a preference, but yes, I certainly think that there's not a standard outside of ourselves. We've all right. agreed together that rape is wrong."
Right.
And we say, "No, we didn't just agree together that rape was wrong. We know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's always wrong, regardless of whether we agree on that or not.
Right. And it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what kind of, you know, who has been an influence on you. Regardless, it That's always
right.
is.
That's right. And so you get things like rape and murder and stealing. Mm-hmm. And we know these things are wrong. What this shows is that there is a standard, a moral standard that is above humanity.
Amen.
We are subject to a standard that is above ourselves. If evolution is true, if there is no God, there is no reason for this standard to exist.
What's the point, right?
There is no reason for that standard. But this standard exists because there is a God who has given us laws, who governs this universe, and good and evil are real things. Right? Morality. It's a reason to believe in God. Go to our website, get more information. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Aha.
This is number six. This is number six reason to believe in God. And some of you might be like, well, wait a minute, the resurrection of Jesus. I wouldn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus unless I already believed in God. But wait, you would be wrong. We can believe in God because of the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
There were people like Saul. Well, he believed in a God, but he didn't believe in Jesus as God until he saw Jesus risen from the dead. And then his whole world spun around.
Right.
And everything he believed changed. What happened here is he saw Jesus was dead and mm-hmm. then was alive.
Right.
And he was like, whoa, this guy has power to raise himself from the dead. So the way we know that Jesus is really resurrected is the acronym FEAT.
Right. Fatal torment.
Yep.
Empty tomb.
Yep.
Appearances.
Yes.
And transformation.
Bingo, Dave. Bingo. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Thank you.
So the F, fatal torment, Jesus really died.
Right. The Romans knew what they were doing when they executed people.
Yes. And they killed them good. They killed them real dead.
And a bunch.
And E is empty tomb, right? The governments, the Roman government, the Jewish government, and the followers of Jesus all agreed.
Yeah.
His body wasn't there 3 days later.
That's probably actually the easiest one out of those to say that happened.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody agreed.
Everybody agrees. Well, he was dead, but then his body wasn't there.
Right.
What comes next? Well, we say A.
Appearances.
Jesus started appearing to people. And there are witnesses of this.
Mm-hmm.
We have people writing it in historical record that Jesus appeared to them. Now, we put those books in the Bible. Some people are like, you can't count the Bible. Well,
it's a historical document.
Yeah. Why can't we?
Right.
I mean, that is the record.
Mm-hmm.
We put it in the Bible because it's the record. But the biggest record isn't just the appearances to hundreds and hundreds of people. The biggest one is the T.
Right. Transformation. People will not die for something that they know to be a lie.
That's right.
People may die for something they think is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But these people, the apostles, all of them, were martyred or persecuted. I mean, really horribly for their faith, and they never recanted.
That's absolutely right. All but one of the apostles was killed for their faith.
Mm-hmm.
They all changed the way they lived. All these Jewish people who did sacrifices every year, right. It was part of their culture.
Right.
They stopped doing sacrifices.
Right.
All these people that didn't work on the Sabbath, suddenly, you know, Sabbath was different for them. They treated it differently. They changed everything about who they were. Because they saw Jesus raised from the dead.
Amen.
If you want more on that, go to our website and type in F-E-A-T. All right, we're going to answer a biblio contradictiono.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction day brought to you by infidels.org. Matthew's wrong reference. Matthew 27:9 says, then that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel.
Okay, okay, great.
However, there's no such passage in Jeremiah.
What?
It's a quote from Zechariah.
Oh no.
The Bible is wrong?
So Matthew said it was from Jeremiah, but it was actually from Zechariah.
Right.
That's not good.
That's what they say.
That's not good. That's not what I'm going to do. Well, our cracked acronym. The first C, or the second C, stands for?
Credibility.
Credibility. All right. Give some credit to the writer of the book of Matthew, right? Don't just assume he's an idiot, right? Just because it's not written in the book of Jeremiah didn't mean Jeremiah didn't say it.
Right.
There was lots of oral traditions. I could say, you know, Ben Franklin said and quote something that's not in one of Ben Franklin's books.
Oh, you'd be wrong.
Not necessarily.
But why?
Because he could have said it. We might have oral tradition, and traditionally we'd attribute this quote to Ben Franklin, even though it's not in one of his books. So this may have been something that attributed to Jeremiah, even though it wasn't in Jeremiah's book. Also, the K in our acronym stands for
knit together.
Right from Genesis to Revelation, these you have to understand how it's all knit together. And the funny thing is, in Jeremiah's book, chapter 32, he buys a field with silver. Jewish teachers would often allude from one story while citing another story. So you do the C for credit, right? He's not so dumb as to miss a major messianic prophecy, right? He's probably relating some very interesting connection between Jeremiah's purchase of a field and Zechariah's well-known prophecy. The purchase of a field is important because that's what Judas did with his 30 pieces of silver. So they do that on purpose. And finally, the M stands for
early meaning in manuscript.
Early meaning in manuscripts. Funny, interesting connection here. In the Talmudic references, prophetic scrolls could actually begin. It would start with the book of Jeremiah, the longest book by word count.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew could actually be citing a section, not a book, just like us saying the Old Testament or the major prophets could refer to any of them. And Jeremiah was the section including Zechariah.
Nice.
That's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Boy, you know, you could almost lose your faith if you didn't listen to this show. I'm just kidding. But you know, I mean, Bible contradictions do seem kind of scary, but they're not.
They're not. Two more reasons to believe in God out of our eight today. Number seven.
Prophecy statistics.
Prophecy and statistics. For this, we look at the statistics about Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, very quickly. You're a twin.
I am.
The odds of having twins is 1 in 50. The odds of winning the California lottery is 1 in 41 million. The odds of dying on a bus ride, what's that?
1 in 500 million.
Odds of dying on an airplane?
1 in 4.6 million.
The odds of winning two lotteries on one day?
1 in 24 billion.
Billion. Yep. All right. How do these compare to Jesus fulfilling the prophecies that he did? Well, Jesus fulfilled at least 191 prophecies, but we can't count all of those. So we're going to just do 48 of them.
All right.
Let's add up all our other statistics.
Math.
And throw in a few more. The odds of you winning the state lottery, going home to find out you just had twins, then dying on a bus ride to another state where you win that state lottery also. And then when you phone home, I know you can't because you're dead, but just go with it.
Yeah.
You phone home to realize your wife had quadruplets. And then you go outside to rejoice. You see the world was hit by a seriously damaging meteor from outer space.
So much free lottery winnings.
The odds of that happening is 1 in 10 to the 30th power. 1 in 10 to the 30th power. Basically impossible.
Right.
Compare that to the odds Jesus could fulfill the prophecies he did. 1 in 10 to the 157th power.
That's a lot of zeros.
Okay. 1 in 10 to the 30th power is impossible. Mm-hmm. Meteors and lotteries and... Compared to Jesus, 1 in 10 to the 157th power. I mean, that's insane.
That is.
That's like multiple times more impossible than all those other impossible things. You just can't do it.
Right.
So, you know, by statistics alone, the mathematical probability says Jesus had to have been from God.
Right.
All right. The final reason you should believe in God today, Dave, number eight.
You know this isn't how it should be.
You know what? That this.
Oh.
This. Yeah, isn't how it should be.
It's broken.
Dave.
Somebody fix this thing. Wait a minute. He already has.
Yeah, you have a craving for water, right?
I do.
Meaning you probably need or want.
Water.
Meaning water probably exists.
Well, yeah.
You don't and can't have cravings for things that don't exist.
That's true.
C.S. Lewis, great author, said, if we find... in ourselves, or if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world.
He was smart.
I'm going to say that again. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We know that this isn't how it should be. We know that there's something better out there. The most probable explanation is we were made for a different type of world.
Amen.
This isn't how it's supposed to be. And we have this desire for us, in ourselves for something that some people say, well, that doesn't exist. No, that's not true. It does exist. This desire for meaning, for fulfillment, isn't found in money or sports or fame. Otherwise, you wouldn't have people with money, sports, and fame killing themselves.
Right.
It's found in a relationship with God. In our final resting place, not death, but the new earth with Jesus.
Amen.
If you haven't found yourself on the way there yet, you need to. And you can only get there by faith in Jesus Christ, right? You and I deserve to be punished by God. But instead of punishing, he wants to save us. He sent his son Jesus to die on our behalf, to raise from the dead, to defeat death. Put your faith in him and follow him. Do it today. Revolution Church.